The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. First and foremost, happy birthday, Laura. It's my wife's birthday today, September 18th. Have a great birthday, Laura. Hope you're having a good day. Anyhow, I'm here in studio overlooking the beautiful North Beverly train station right here in the North Shore 104.9 studios. There doesn't seem to be many people that are heading into Boston this early in the morning as the parking lot is dead empty, but Starbucks and Depot Diner, they're all getting going and everyone's doing fine here. So we've got some great things to talk about today and great weather coming up too. I mean, hey, a lot of things also coming up in the future. Just a few weeks, Topsfield Fair is getting ready. Are you ready for the fair? Fair's going to be great this year. I'm going to be back there like I always am. I run the B'nai B'rith booth, and as we get closer, I'll start offering up some ideas and little phrase words that you can say at the booth to help yourself earn some free prizes, free food, free all sorts of stuff that we'll have there. But there's lots of great stuff going on at the fair this year. I understand, let's see, who is coming back? We have Grand Funk Railroad coming to the Topsfield Fair. We've got KC and the Sunshine Band. And Frankie Avalon, yep, your teenage, what was his role there at Teen Angel or whatever he was in Greece? Frankie Avalon, going to be coming as well to the fair, plus many, many others. Your favorite lumberjack women will be cutting down trees and growing stumps, and I don't know what they do there. They just shave trees, they climb trees, they cut branches. I understand it's a great, great show. And of course, back each and every year, someone's going to vie for the world's largest pumpkin. You know, that's reason enough to go to the fair, isn't it? Just to see the world's largest pumpkin. Actually, I think one of the coolest things that happened at the fair are the chicks. Watching those little baby chicks get born in the incubator. I think that's a pretty cool thing to do. All sorts of new stuff. You'll have all sorts of fried Oreo cookies, fried peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, fried anything. If you want it fried, you can get it at the fair. Fried bacon, fried anything. And of course, Robinson's Racing Pigs coming back again. Robinson's Racing Pigs. We tried to get mugs. We actually had the guy from Robinson's Racing Pigs on the radio last year when I was helping mugs out on a Friday morning show. And we tried to get mugs to get into the pen to race with the pigs. But the guy wouldn't let us. All he could let mugs do was watch. And mugs so desperately wanted to roll around in the mud with the pigs. But didn't happen. So maybe we can convince him this year. We'll see what happens. Anyways, we're here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. I run a company called Friedman Financial Associates located in Peabody, Massachusetts. My father started the firm back in 1968. Long time ago. It's going to be 50 years, April of 2018. Hard to believe that we've been doing this for so long for so many families. And really, it's just regular families that live on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley in the southern New Hampshire area. Folks that are actually now in the Middlesex community, too, are seeing a bunch of people from Burlington and Woburn and Winchester and Lexington starting to head over to our office as well. We are thrilled with the number of listeners that continue to tune into this radio station. It's funny, I was here at the station earlier this week just in visiting, and someone was saying to me, Mark, you know, your show on the weekends is one of our anchor shows. And I mean, I never thought of our show being an anchor show. But apparently we're getting a really good following, and I'm so thrilled with the number of emails, phone calls, questions that I get from you, and I'm happy to answer them all right here on the radio. Or if you want to meet with me in person and schedule your own financial plan with our firm, I'd be happy to do that as well. Anyways, bunch of things to talk about today. One item of discussion, of course, has been this crazy volatile stock market that we've had over the past few weeks. And folks, it's going to continue. And should you be worried? No, not at all. Don't be worried. Let me ask you this. 5 years from now, where we stand right now, do you think our country will be in a better position than it is today or a worse position. Now, I'm not talking about military-wise. I'm not talking about healthcare-wise. I'm talking about total economic. Look at the big picture, everything involved, not just one sliver of it, the whole big picture. Are we going to be better off 5 years from now than we are today? And folks, it has nothing to do with which person wins the presidency. Nothing at all. It mostly has to do with business and economics. Will companies be stronger? Will they be more profitable? Will there be more people working? Will wages go up over the next 5 years? I think the answer is absolutely yes. Will it be messy along the way? Absolutely. It's going to be very messy along the way. Think about all the potential for job opportunities for so many people these days. It's out there. Look, unemployment is at the lowest it's ever been. Yet wages have not gone up. Wages have relatively been flat for almost a decade, even more. People need to start making more money, and businesses are recognizing that they need to start paying for it. And you know what? If they pay more money, believe it or not, if they pay their employees more money, do you know what that actually means? That those corporations pay less taxes. Would you rather ask a corporation, ask a CEO of a company, would you rather pay your employees more money or send more money to the government? Because it's a write-off one way or the other. If I'm paying you $100,000 or I'm paying you $50,000 and I have to send the other $50,000 to the government, where would I rather put my money? And I think more and more corporations are going to start realizing and really begin to think about the entire and overall infrastructure and the impact that their business means, not only to their shareholders, but also to the employees in the community in which they work around. And I think employees are going to start to see wages go up. I mean, I think about it this. When I graduated Babson College back in 1989, starting salaries coming out of school were around, I don't know, $25,000 to $30,000. That's what they really were coming out of college, $25,000 to $30,000. That was in 1989. So now we're talking almost 30 years later, right? I mean, we're talking about 99, 2009, 25 years later. Starting salaries coming out of college these days is around 40 grand. That is not a big increase. That's a 50% increase. If you were getting paid $30,000 back in 1989 and now you're getting paid $40,000 25 years later, that's a 50% increase over 25 years. That's nothing. You didn't get much of a raise. You got basically a 0.5% raise every year. That's nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have to do better. And I truly believe that companies are going to start paying more money to their employees. And when that starts happening, what do employees do when they make more money? What do you do when you get a bonus check? Oh, I know. You just take the money and you stick it in the bank, right? Wrong. You don't do that. And because you're going to say, why would I stick money in the bank when I don't make any money in the bank? So maybe you want to invest in stuff. Maybe it's investing in the stock market. Maybe it's investing in real estate. Maybe it's investing in a business. Or maybe it's just going out and saying, you know what? It's time for me to buy a new car. It's time for me to do some home improvements on my house with interest rates as low as they are. It's time for me to buy an Xbox. I don't know, whatever it is that you want to buy. When we start to see this all happening, the markets are going to do well. But that's down the road. That could be 3, 4, 5 years down the road. Look, the market's doing really well right now. Think about it. I mean, yeah, over the past few days, we've seen the market go up 300, down 300, up 300, down 300. Am I worried? No, I'm not worried at all, and nor should you be. I mean, look, if the Dow Jones Industrial Average was trading at 1,000 and it went up and down 200 and 300 points a day, yes, I'd be concerned. But the Dow Jones Industrial Average hovers around 18,000. And when it moves 200 or 300 points a day, it's nothing. It means nothing. Do you know? Think about it. Look at it this way. Generally, the markets are moving 1 or 2 percentage points over the course of a week, up or down right now. That's what's happening. And you might think, well, it's a lot, you know, 1 or 2 percentage points. I want you to think about how many times you go to the ATM machine and you take $20 out or $40, take $20 out, and you're willing to pay that $2 transaction fee every time you take 20 bucks out. You know, that happens to a lot of people. In fact, I think I told the story when I was in teaching a personal finance class at North Andover High School. And I asked the kids, how many kids here have an ATM card? Well, every hand goes up in the room. Or they have a debit card. I said, what does it cost to take money out of the ATM machine? And the kids would respond to me anywhere between $2 and $5. And I said, did you know that the answer should be free? And they looked at me like I was crazy. I mean, because they go walking into the local pizza joint. They walk into the local CVS or wherever where there's one of those stand-up ATM machines. Or they find a small bank's ATM machine. They don't care where it is. They take the money out, and they agree to the $2 service charge. $2 and $20 is a 10% fee every time you take it out. Yet we're worried that the market went up and down 1% or 2%. Our kids, maybe even adults, are not being fiscally and financially responsible. We need to do a better job at that. We need to recognize that we're getting nickeled and dimed on fees simply because we want convenience. Now, you have to manage the level of convenience that you want in your financial life. If it's worth going to that local stand-up ATM machine at the, I don't know, at the train station or wherever you might be, at your local convenience store, and paying that $2 to $5 fee, well, recognize the percentage that you're taking out. Look, if I'm going to have to pay $5 as a transaction fee out of an ATM machine, I'm taking $500. I'm not taking $20. The percentage changes a lot because there's so many people that continue to go to ATM machines and they say, well, I don't want to carry too much cash. But instead, I'd like to carry $40 with me all the time. So every other day, they go into the ATM machine to get $40. But they're paying $2, $3 every time they get $40. That doesn't make any sense. We need to be a little bit more responsible about that. We need to be thinking a little clearer about how we're spending and using our money. Another thing, service fees. Service fees are just eating up a lot of our money. When you want to go and get theater tickets, you know you can easily do that. You want to go see the Red Sox. You want to go see a show in town, whatever it is. Everybody's got a service fee now. And that service fee can add up. $5, $6, $8 for a service fee for every ticket you purchase. Think about it. Gas prices are at the lowest they've ever been, right? How hard would it be for you to hop in your car, make an afternoon of it, go down to, the Wang Theater, go down to Fenway Park, walk up to the box office, buy your tickets, no ticket charge there, no service fee, hang around the ballpark, get some lunch, make it a day for yourself. But no, we're so inclined to pay service fees. Now, where's one place that you can actually save some money? You know, Amazon's come out with their Amazon Prime program. You pay $99 for the year so that you don't have to pay for shipping costs on anything. I have become a Amazon Prime obsessed buyer. I buy everything on Amazon. Folks, now that's a smart use of your time and money. But if you're going to sit around just because you want to watch another episode of Breaking Bad, don't want to get off your seat because you want to catch that another episode of Breaking Bad and pay service fees, now that's foolish. But you got to find what's right for you, of course, but also be smart about it. We're not that smart when it comes to our own personal finances, yet we'll blame the president, we'll blame the economy, we'll blame our government because they're charging us too much for this and too much for that. We're charging ourselves too much for too many items. Just something to think about. We got a lot of things to talk about today. I want to talk a little bit about mutual funds later on in the show. I want to talk a little bit about charitable giving as well, something that came up earlier in the week at my office. I'm going to share that with you and so many other things that we want to share. But when we get back, I've got my top 10 list for picking the very best mutual funds. How about that? When we get back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. During the break, I was informed that my math skills are really failing me early on a Sunday morning. Yes, when I graduated Babson in 1989, it's been 27 years since that period of time. I had said 25, so sorry if my math didn't work out. Hey, I want to remind you all about this newsletter that we put out each and every Friday morning. It's called Planning Pointers. I send it out from my office, Friedman Financial, where we continue to provide financial advice in a language you can understand in little tidbit format. You get it delivered right into your inbox. We send over 6,000 of these newsletters each and every Friday. I've been doing this since March of 2009. It's a long time. Every single Friday, never missed a single one. If you want to get my free newsletter, here's what you got to do. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. The very bottom of the website, there's a button that says sign up for Mark's newsletter. Hit the button and you'll be asked to enter your email address so that we can send it off to you. And that's all you need to do. It might also say, where did you hear about us? Certainly click on dollars and cents so we know that you're one of our great listeners. We continue to fill up that roster of recipients of that newsletter through this radio station. And I will tell you this. My promise to you, and the promise has always been, if you sign up for my newsletter, even though you put down your email address, I promise you, I will not be calling you. I'm not going to hire an outside firm to call on you. I'm not going to bother you at 5 o'clock, or 6 o'clock, or 7 o'clock around dinner time saying, hey, can I interest you in this particular product or this solution? Absolutely not. That's not what we do. At Friedman Financial, we're about financial planning first. And I know that when it's time to get serious, when financial planning is the point of conversation, it's something that you need to be ready for and you need to be serious about. It's not when someone tells you it's time for you to start working on this. You've got to be ready. And when you're ready, ready to get serious about everything in your financial life, getting your financial house in order, we're going to be ready for you. Give us a call if you'd like when the time is right. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'll be there to listen. We'll be there to talk to you and perhaps even schedule a free initial consultation to have you come into the office. But even if, for whatever reason, you're listening to this show and you say, you know, I get this one pressing question. It's one issue I heard from a buddy of mine at the coffee shop this morning, or one of my coworkers told me this about the 401k, or I'm hearing this about what the Social Security thing is going to do. I want you to feel like you can reach out to me when you want. Drop me the question, and I will answer it. Anybody that's done that knows that I will answer you within 48 hours. I always will, and if it's one of these really good questions, I might even include it here on the radio show. I won't use your name, nothing like that. Of course, unless you want me to, maybe we'll even interview you here on the show. But I want to help you out. I don't want you to feel so paralyzed about personal finance. And it is one of those things where you say, oh my God, it's just way too confusing. I can't figure this out. I want you to know that there's a resource that's available to help you. That's what we're here for on Dollars and Cents, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. No, we normally don't take calls during the show because I want to really bring you some great information. But if you have questions, if you have thoughts, if you're wondering about something and you just want to get a quick answer, drop me a question. My email address, my direct email address is Mark, M-A-R-C, not with a K. Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And I thank the people that work in the sports medicine group next to my office in Peabody. Whenever I'm walking down the stairs, they always go, Friedman, two E's and a D. And I didn't realize that I've actually created a trademark for that, but apparently some people are remembering it. I feel like Jordan's Furniture, remember? Not to be confused with Jordan March, left on Spitbrook, right on Daniel Webster. Remember those ads with Barry and Elliot? So I guess we're making some kind of an impact after 4 years here on the radio. Anyways, I told you I was going to give you my top 10 list for picking mutual funds. You know, mutual funds are one of these things where when I started in the business back in 1991, 2 in 5 people owned a mutual fund. 2 in 5 people owned a mutual fund. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, I don't own a mutual fund, or maybe you do. Chances are you do, because now 78% of our population, 7.8 out of 10 people own a mutual fund. Now, you can own a mutual fund a lot of different ways. Do you have a 401k at work? If you do, you have a mutual fund. Do you have a personal investment account? Do you have an IRA? Chances are you own a mutual fund. Do you own a variable annuity? Chances are you own a mutual fund. You probably own one in one way, shape, or form. But sometimes you want to figure out, well, how do I pick what mutual fund is best for me? Because, you know, oftentimes it's tough to find help out there. Even if you walk into, for instance, the Fidelity office. If you go to the Fidelity office right here across from Sylvan Street Grill in Danvers, The guys there are very good, and Fidelity is a great firm to work with. But those guys in there can't really provide you much in the way of advice. It's up to you to figure out what you want to do. They're basically order takers there. That's their job, unless you're willing to pay them a fee for advice. And they have programs over there, like even in my office, like anyone else. If you want to pay someone for advice, they'll give it to you. But Fidelity, for instance, on the corner across from Sylvan Street, they're very specific about saying, we cannot provide free advice. We can make some suggestions to you, but at the end of the day, you've got to make the call. You've got to place the investment. You've got to do it on your own. And so there's a lot of folks that I call do-it-yourselfers that are out there. And that's okay. Folks, picking mutual funds is not rocket science. It isn't. Financial planning, that's a lot tougher. But if all you're looking to do is to buy a mutual fund to figure out what you should own, I want to share with you my top 10 list for picking mutual funds. Are you ready? Is your pen ready? Number one thing to look for when you're looking for a mutual fund, you want to look at the size of the fund. You'll see this term on Morningstar and a few other places called market capitalization. That gives you a sense as to how much money is in the mutual fund. How many assets are in the mutual fund? I want you to select a fund. I want you to look at your funds that you own and make sure that there's at least $750 million or more in the mutual funds that you own. Chances are that's the case. But a lot of these new funds, you hear about some fund that was up 300 and something percent for the year. It makes the cover of Money Magazine. People start talking about it. The portfolio manager makes it on the Today Show, on CNBC, on Bloomberg, or whatever it is. And then they ask the question, well, it's an amazing performance. How much money do you have in your mutual fund? Well, right now we're around $12 million. Folks, it's a lot more difficult to build a portfolio and manage a portfolio in a long time when you have $750 million than when you have 12. For a variety of reasons. Actually, it's very difficult at 12 too. But when you go to 12 and you're that popular, what do you do when your 12 turns into 65 because everybody is sending you cash? Are you prepared to put that money to work at the same level of aggressiveness, the same level of care that you might have for the first 12 million? You probably didn't. You don't have a system in place. You don't have a business model. You don't have the scalability. Folks, when you're buying mutual funds, you can't afford to take the risk of a small startup mutual fund. You can't afford that. I want you to select a fund that has at least $750 million in assets in the fund. There are thousands that fall into that category. That should be your first criteria. Criterion number two is what I call manager tenure. I want you to look for a manager who's had a minimum of a 5-year track record. Now think about this. 5-year track record. If you look back over the past 5 years, we've pretty much just seen an up market, haven't we, over the past 5 years? When's the last time we had a down market? A really long, prolonged down market? It might be 2008, 2009. So if I were you, if you really wanted to take a look at it, ask yourself, how did this portfolio manager perform during the down years? So it might even be more than 5. Maybe it's 10. Because you know what? We've had an incredible run. And the market is going to go down. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. You just don't want to hear it. But the market's going to go down. It does. If markets only went in one direction, you wouldn't need financial advisors. You wouldn't need any type of financial philosophy programs, any type of financial management. You just invest in stocks and just say, oh, great, it's going to make money. Stocks go up and down. The markets go up and down. Bonds can lose money. You want to find a portfolio manager who has dealt with a down market. You also want to find a portfolio manager who has been around when interest rates moved upward. Remember, over the past five or six years, interest rates have just moved down. And when interest rates are moving down, you make money in bonds. It's that simple. But when interest rates start moving up, and we're expecting interest rates to move up probably end of this year, beginning of next, you're going to see bonds start to lose money. So how nimble can your portfolio manager be? What experience do they have in bond markets when the interest rate starts to move up? So I want you to be very, very careful. Look at the manager tenure. The other thing to look at is see how long has that manager been managing this portfolio. Sometimes managers jump around for a better opportunity. You want to be sure that you're with a solid manager. Okay, number three, take a look at operating expenses. You'll oftentimes see on Morningstar.com something that's called an expense ratio. Always on the Morningstar page, you will find what the industry average is for that fund and what the current expense ratio is. I want you to be sure that your investment that you're making is either at or under the industry average. There's no need for you to be paying an excessively high operating expense. So the first three things we talked about, we've been talking about my top 10 list for picking mutual funds. Number one, find a mutual fund that has at least $750 million in assets. No, you don't have to put $750 million in, but the collective pool in the portfolio has $750 million or more. Many portfolios have several billions of dollars. But 750, that should be your minimum threshold. Number two, I want you to take a look at how long the manager has been running this fund. Hopefully, it should be at least more than 5 years. And because the markets have only seen an uptick for the longest time, you need to be sure you have a manager that's been around to manage portfolios when markets go down. And how well do they react? That oftentimes talks about something that's called their volatility, their risk, their aggressiveness. If a portfolio manager overperforms on the upside, they're likely to underperform on the downside, which means if the average was supposed to be, I don't know, 6% over the past 5 years, and this portfolio manager has been doing 9, what is the likelihood of them sticking with a negative 6% when the market goes down and that's what the average is? Chances are they could be down 9 as well. You want to be careful. You don't want too much volatility there. So you want to make sure that you've got a manager who manages well on the downside as well as he does on the upside. The other thing to look out for, like I said, those interest rates on bonds. Interest rates are going to start moving up. Make sure you got a manager that knows how to manage bonds when interest rates are going up. And thirdly is operating expenses. You want to try to minimize the cost, the internal cost of running your mutual fund. Chances are the larger the fund, the smaller the expense ratio should be in the first place. But you want to be sure that you're looking at the industry average. Find something that's a little bit less than what the industry average is. A lot of people are using things that are called exchange-traded funds. We'll talk about that at a later time as well. But right now, we're just talking about mutual funds. Make sure your mutual funds are on the lower side. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to continue our top 10 list for picking mutual funds. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
North Shore boaters, it's time to plan for winter storage and services. Marine Max Russo on Route 128 in Danvers can do it all. Store boats up to 40 feet and provide winterizing and shrink wrap services. Marine Max Russo provides quick turnaround times for service drop-offs. Call Mike Reynolds at Marine Max Russo on Route 128 in Danvers location and reserve a storage spot or to schedule service. Marine Max Russo, the North Shore's premier boat and yacht retailer. RussoMarine.com.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, and I'm here each and every Sunday morning providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand with our show that's called Dollars and Cents. Today in studio, I'm providing you with some little tidbits that provide information on everything from how you spend your money to how you might invest your money. And earlier in the show, we were talking about my top 10 list for picking mutual funds, I should say, not just one, but a lot of mutual funds. This list actually comes out of a book that I wrote a few years ago. It's called Retiring for the Genius. It's available, of course, on Amazon.com and all these other places. But I'm just providing you with this list today to give you a sense on how you can go about doing this on your own. The first three things we talked about, number one, two, and three. Number one was make sure that the mutual funds that you purchase have a total of at least $750 million in their portfolio before you invest dollar one. That's very important. Most will be in the billions, but stay away from funds that are only $45 million, $50 million. There's not enough experience in the managers there to give you the limited volatility that's appropriate for a mutual fund. Number two, make sure the manager has been doing this for a long time, at least 5 years or more. Make sure that they've also been involved with managing this portfolio in down markets, not just up markets. Thirdly, make sure that the operating expenses, the internal expenses that the mutual funds charge you, make sure they're reasonable. Take a look what the industry average is. If you go to Morningstar.com and you pull up whatever mutual fund it is that you want, you will see what the industry average is, and then you'll see what the cost of your mutual fund is. Make sure that yours is under the industry average. Number four, and this is the very important one, ignore Morningstar stars. Morningstar stars are a lousy way to build a mutual fund portfolio. Do you know why? Because Morningstar stars are based upon a historical 3-year performance. Now, anyone will tell you that past performance is never indicative of future results. I'll tell you this story about a guy by the name of Jim Callinan. Jim Callinan, this is back in the, late 90s. Jim Callinan used to run a fund called the Putnam Emerging Growth Fund. He had great performance, 97, 98. I mean, high double digit, I mean, sometimes 40%, 50% returns. It earned him a great 5-star rating. 3 years in a row, he was spectacular. And he got lots of press. His fund name appeared everywhere. If you looked at the top small cap growth mutual fund in America, Jim Callinan's Emerging Growth Fund of Putnam was number one. And guess what happened to Jim Callinan after 3 years? He got recruited. And the people over at RS Investments, or Robertson Stevens Investments, out in San Francisco said, "Have we got an offer you can't refuse?" And Jim up and left. And he joined the Robertson Stevens Emerging Growth Fund, a 1-star fund at Morningstar that had struggled for years. So Jim brought his expertise, his contacts, his experience to go into a fund that didn't explode in assets. Because remember what happens when you become the popular fund, everybody wants to throw money at you. And so Jim got to the point where his smaller fund was now several billion dollars. And he said, "You know what? It's a lot tougher in this several billion dollar thing. I can't be as nimble. I can't be as quick. I can't do what I want to do." So Robertson Stevens made him an offer and he went there. And so for the first year, the only people that were investing in the Robertson Stevens Emerging Growth Fund were institutions, people that knew the industry. Because you know what? The consuming public, they weren't interested. Because what would consumers do if they saw a 1-star rated fund? Heck, I'm not doing that. In fact, if I owned it, I'm selling it. And in fact, I'm going to throw it all over to the Putnam Emerging Growth Fund, which was a 5-star fund. Because look at their historical track record. And over the next 3 years, the Emerging Growth Fund trailed itself all the way down to a 1- and 2-star fund, while the Robertson Stevens Emerging Growth Fund moved to a 5-star fund. It was the manager that ran it. It was not the stars. Folks, you need to be very, very careful in understanding what stars mean on a Morningstar report. In fact, if you pull up any Morningstar sheet and you look at that little bar chart that they do, they show that that historical chart of how the account did or how the portfolio has done over the years. There are these little upside down triangles that appear on those charts. And an upside down triangle along that graph shows that the portfolio manager has left or the team has changed. So if you see that the portfolio manager has changed over the past 3 years and they had a 5-year run, a 3 or 5 year run with 5 stars, you got to ask yourself, what's the likelihood of the new manager that's coming in to replicate that situation? Many of these guys say, "I want a big challenge. I want to get paid a lot of money." And they make a lot of money. I mean, I'm talking millions of dollars a year. You're talking about, athlete income. That's what these guys are making. And they move into these funds that are struggling and they turn them around. You got to look at those. Don't let the Morningstar stars drive your decision. Number five in my list of top 10, my top 10 list for picking mutual funds. Number five. I want to make sure, the numbers are just like killing me today. And number five, make sure you know all of the costs. We've talked about this many, many times on the radio. Do you pay a commission? Are you paying an ongoing management fee? Do you have a deferred charge? Are you subject to a fee if you get out early? Are there ongoing fees? What are you getting for the ongoing fees? You need to know the answers to these questions. If you're buying it directly from the mutual fund company, find out what those all those costs are. If you're buying it through an advisor, through a broker, find out what those costs are. Ask them up front. They should be telling you in the first place, but you need to know, you need to understand what it is that you're paying. Number six, here's a tough one. Avoid diversification. No, I did not say diversification. I said diversification. Diversification is when you buy a lot of mutual funds, but they all perform similarly. I can't tell you how many people have come to my office that have ended up moving their accounts and becoming great financial planning clients after being, and I'll use Fidelity purely as an example here. And they've said to me, I don't understand. My portfolio does either really well or really poorly. I own the Fidelity Growth Company Fund, the Fidelity Blue Chip Fund, the Fidelity Growth and Income Fund. I own the Fidelity Contra Fund. All of these funds, they sound like different fund names, but if you do what's called an overlap analysis, and Morningstar allows you to do that, an overlap analysis takes all of these mutual funds and allows you to lay them on top of each other so you can see what stocks are being held by these mutual funds. And what you'll find is many of these mutual funds are all investing in the same stocks. And so, yes, when the S&P 500 and when these big company stocks do well, all of those funds that I just listed, they're going to do well. And when the S&P 500 and those big company stocks do poorly, you're going to do poorly. That's called diversification. You're making your situation more risky, much more worse than if you had spread your money around several asset classes. You've heard the term using large cap, small cap, mid cap, value, growth, international, emerging markets, bonds, whatever it might be. You got to have a little bit of money in both. In all. But what you have to do is find what is the right mix that aligns well with your risk tolerance. Do you want to have all of your money in small cap emerging companies? Probably not. But you should have some money there. Where should your heaviest weightings be? Well, that's your own situation, and you got to understand that. And sometimes it's best to have someone else help you in understanding what that is. Because you know what? It's tough to give yourself a haircut. It really is. Have you ever tried giving yourself a haircut? It's not easy, unless you have one of those little Flowbee things. I've seen that thing that they do on the is made on TV, or you can buy it on TV, that Flowbee. It looks like a blow dryer or a reverse blow dryer with a blade inside of it. Cuts your hair somehow. But geez, I mean, you wouldn't want to give yourself a haircut. That's why when you're talking about your money, are you prepared to make that decision independently on your own as to what is best for your situation? All right, number seven, keep it simple. If you don't understand the types of investments that the manager is buying, stay away. Now, if you use a broker, chances are you've heard about these things called alternative investments. They want to sell you REITs. They want to sell you gold. They want to sell you futures contracts. They want to sell you structured settlement products. They want to sell you structured products, all different things that you have no idea what they are. They want to sell you options, covered calls, puts. You have no business buying any of that stuff. It's too complicated, too risky, and not the type of portfolio that you need. Keep it simple. Stick with mutual funds, stick with individual bonds and bond funds, and even include exchange-traded funds. But I'm telling you, stay away from individual stocks, stay away from options, stay away from alternative investments, stay away from the hot new product that's coming out. When a broker starts to introduce you to a brand new fund that's just been rolled out by XYZ company, you stay away. Maybe one in 25 or one in 50 of those things will work out really well for you. But you can't run that risk. You don't have that kind of money. Stick with the tried and true mutual funds. Number eight, fund flows. What does that mean? Well, here's something to think about. If your fund or a fund that you own makes the cover of Money Magazine, you know what that is to me? That is a sell signal. Because when you make the cover of Money Magazine, that means millions of people are now going to want to invest in this fund. And the poor manager is not going to know what to do with the cash. Not to mention, when you are fund manager of the year, you know where you spend most of your time? On a plane. You spend most of your time on a plane. You're doing, you're speaking at conferences. You're doing teleconferences. You're on television shows. You're doing radio performances. You might even be doing a book tour. How much time are you actually spending focusing on building that portfolio? You're not. You're leaving it to your analyst. You're leaving it to your junior people in the office. If your fund makes fund of the year, get out. The other thing is, like I said, fund flows. What happens is you need to take a look at how much money is going into the fund and how much is going out. For instance, one of the things that was interesting was PIMCO Total Return, which was a very popular fund, still is a very popular fund over at PIMCO, was actually at one point the largest bond fund in the world. Bill Gross ran the fund. But Bill Gross decided to quit. And he ended up taking a job over at Janus. And so what happens when Bill Gross quits? People wanted to take their money out. So money was flowing out very, very quickly. Now, what happens if people want their money out of a mutual fund? The portfolio manager has to send it to them. Sometimes there's cash coming in, but when there's not enough cash, they have to start selling investments. Do you want to be invested in a fund that's spending most of its time figuring out how I need to sell out my investment so I can give money to the shareholders that want out? You're buying any of these investments to grow your portfolio. You want the guy focusing on offense, not defense. So you have to be careful of fund flows. All right, I got two more to go, and I'm not going to tell you about them until we get back because we got to take a quick break. So this has been the longest iteration of the top 10 list for picking mutual funds. I think I've taken now about 16 minutes just to get through eight of them. We're going to recap them when we get back, and I'm going to give you my final two items here on my top 10 list for picking mutual funds that suit you well. We'll take a quick break. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Flying cows, killer rabbits, and a bevy of beautiful showgirls. Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater proudly presents Monty Python's Spamalot, the smash hit musical lovingly ripped off from the motion picture Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Knights of the Round Table.
Join King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table in this outrageous Tony Award-winning musical comedy, Monty Python's Spamalot.
Everybody, always look on the bright.
Stopping musical numbers, French people, and knights who say me are just a few of the reasons audiences eat up Monty Python's Spamalot.
So try your luck and come along. Run and luck and come along.
Playing September 27th through October 9th, only at North Shore Music Theater. For tickets, log on to nsmt.org.
Spamalot.
Sponsored by ASR Roofing.
We have been having so much fun here this morning that I didn't even realize that this was the fourth segment of our show today. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a great day. Once again, Laura, maybe you're awake. There's a note out to my wife, Laura. Happy birthday to you. Hope you're having a great day. Hopefully the kids made you breakfast and bed or did something for you. Maybe they cleaned the kitchen. Boy, that would be a surprise now, wouldn't it? So I'll be home soon. Don't you worry. All right. We're sitting here in studio providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. One of the things I love talking about is giving people some true, honest, real life, down to earth advice that they can understand, that they can use in their own life when it comes to money. And so our focus today has really been on mutual funds. A top 10 list for picking mutual funds. How do you pick the right ones? We've been going through this list. We stopped at number 8 in the last segment. I'm going to recap again, and then I'm going to give you 9 and 10, and then we'll wrap things up for the day. All right. number one thing to look for when picking a mutual fund, make sure that the fund size is over $750 million. You don't want to be buying small funds. Go to Morningstar.com. Go to finance.yahoo.com. Go to finance.google.com. Type in the symbol of your mutual funds and take a look at the amount of assets, the asset size of the fund. If you see the number 801, you're okay. That means 801 million. They don't put in all the zeros. They just post it there in millions. Sometimes they might even just show 1.7. 1.7 means 1.7 billion because it's shown in millions. So you want to be over $750 million in assets. Number two, make sure that the manager who's running the fund has been running it for 5 years or more. Make sure that they have experience managing money when the markets are down. Make sure they have experience when interest rates have gone up. If you've got a young new manager that's a hot shot that's just gotten his Harvard MBA and been managing portfolios for 3 or 4 years, you could be in for a surprise when the markets get a little volatile. They don't know what to do. They haven't had the experience. Maybe they got to do it in a little incubator portfolio over in college, but now we're talking about real money. Real money. Make sure that you've got an experienced, well-versed manager who's running your fund. Number three, watch the costs of the mutual fund, oftentimes referred to as operating expenses or internal expenses. If you go to Morningstar.com, on the bottom of each Morningstar page, you'll find what the expense ratios are, the costs and the fees. You want to make sure that the expense ratios of your mutual funds are under the industry average. The industry average is posted right on that Morningstar page. You just have to look for it. You've got to make the right decision. Number four, I want you to ignore the stars on the Morningstar page. They mean nothing to you. Morningstar stars are based upon historical performance, not future performance. If the manager that's running the fund isn't the manager that's been there for the past 3 to 5 years, those star ratings are worthless. They hold zero value to you. Yet you know that the fund company will continue to promote their 3 and 4 and 5 star ratings. Be careful of the mutual fund star system. Number five, watch out for commissions and fees. If you buy mutual funds on your own, if you do it directly, make sure that you know what all the costs are that are involved. You know, just because you go to Fidelity to purchase mutual funds doesn't mean that you're not paying a commission. You like to buy those Fidelity Select funds, you're paying a commission. You like to buy a Fidelity Advisor fund? A Fidelity Advisor fund. You generally don't walk into a Fidelity office to buy a Fidelity Advisor fund, do you? No. You generally buy a Fidelity Advisor fund through a financial advisor. Those generally come with a commission. Understand what the commission is. I'm not saying the commissions are bad. I just want you to know what you're buying, what you're paying for. Understand what a 12B1 cost is. A 12B1 cost is an ongoing servicing fee that's paid to the advisor of 0.25% every year. That's built in. It's already deducted from the price of the mutual fund before it's printed in the paper. Do you have the opportunity to switch your share class from something that pays a 12B1 fee to something that doesn't? Yeah, you do. You just have to know how to do it. If you want to learn, I can certainly show you how to do that. Give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Number six, I want you to avoid diversification. See this all the time, folks. Everybody thinks that they've got a really nice bucket of investments, yet they all sit in one box in the asset class on the style box. They might own, I got GE, I got Dell, I got Fidelity Growth Company, I've got the S&P 500, I've got all these funds and stocks, but they all perform the same way. You might think, they're doing really well right now. But yeah, when the market goes down, they'll do poorly too. You need to have diversification, asset allocation, not diversification, thinking that you have a whole bunch of investments, but they're all going to perform similarly. You got to be careful of that. Number seven, keep it simple. I don't want anybody buying individual stocks. I don't want anybody buying any of these consumer-created products that are called alternative investments, from futures to gold portfolios to hedged investments to commodities plays. Stop it. It has proven. I go to several conferences a year, and everybody at every single one of these conferences, I'm embarrassed when I sit around and I watch people joke about the fact that the advisors have all made money on these products, but the clients have not. They've not. It was an opportunity to sell you something when you said, geez, well, the cash is paying me next to nothing. Can we come up with something else? And yeah, these advisors can come up with something else. They make money. You don't. Folks, it's not worth it. I would stay away from the alternative investments. Buy mutual funds, buy bonds and bond funds, buy exchange-traded funds and cash. Period. End of sentence. That's all you need to worry about. That serves the consumer public just fine. Number eight, watch out for fund flows. Watch out for fund flows. That means when a portfolio manager leaves, and how are you going to know when a portfolio manager leaves? What do they call you up and say, oh, by the way, you own the XYZ mutual fund. Mr. Stern, who is running the portfolio, has decided to retire or he's leaving. You think they're going to call you that morning to let you know? No. Now, I get daily reports. There's a couple websites. One is called ignites.com and the other one is called fundfire.com. I'm not sure if you can get access to that. Maybe you can set up an account for yourself. I know that I pay a subscription fee for it, but every morning and actually several times throughout the day, we get little tidbits of news of things that are going on in the industry. I know when a portfolio manager is quitting. I know when there's been a change in leadership at a portfolio. I know when the Harvard Endowment decides to dump a particular fund company and move somewhere else. Because when those things happen, when money has to fly out of a mutual fund just because someone's left or a portfolio manager quits and people don't want to stick there anymore, you may continuously be investing your money. Think about it. You've got money in your 401k plans. Every week you're adding money to the same mutual funds. How often do you look at what funds you're investing in? You're not. You're probably looking at what's the balance of my account. That's all you're really looking at. But how would you like to know that every week as you've been adding money, that same portfolio manager is taking money from that portfolio and sending it off to other people because they have to, because the demand to liquidate money from that fund is greater than the demand for people to invest in the money, to invest in the account. Managing fund flows is a critical strategy in building the right mutual fund portfolio. You have to know what you're doing. Folks, there's, I don't know, it's close to 20,000 different mutual funds when you consider all the different fund share classes. There's only about 400 of them that are any good. Which ones? Well, it all depends. But there's a bunch of them that are not managed nearly as well as they should be. All right, that leads us to numbers 9 and number 10. In what my top 10 list for picking mutual funds. Number 9 is what are called share classes. Make sure that you understand all entry, exit, and ongoing costs prior to investing. You'll see things called Class A, Class B, Class C, Class Z, Class F, Class M, Class I, Class Y. They continued. It's the alphabet soup of mutual fund share classes. Go ahead and type, I don't care, type any mutual fund you want. Type the Growth Fund of America, one of the largest funds in America. Type that into Morningstar, and you will probably see Growth Fund of America listed 6 or 7 times with different share classes after it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the fund. The fund does just fine. But each one of those different listings for the Growth Fund of America mean that you're paying a different fee to be part of it. Maybe it's an ongoing fee. Maybe it's an upfront sales charge. Maybe there's a deferred charge. Maybe there's no charge. You've got to understand what it is that you own. Understanding your share classes is critical. And let me tell you, if you have a portfolio that consists of A, B, C, a whole bunch of different share classes in your portfolio, I got to tell you, my personal opinion, that's not great advice. Chances are you don't know what you own, and the advisor just sold you whatever they thought was the hot thing to buy at the time. They made a great commission on it. You got to know what you own, folks. It's very, very important. And the last one, and this is the toughest one to follow, and most people don't get it. If you have an IRA, if your mutual funds are only in IRAs, this comment does not apply to you. It's if you own mutual funds personally, in a trust account, individually. It's something that's called capital gain distributions. And if you were around last year and you own mutual funds personally, you know what I'm talking about. Capital gain distributions is this extra dividend that gets paid out in the months of November and December. It's taxable to you, and your price per share of your mutual fund drops in the same manner than is the dividend. So let's say the price per share of your mutual fund was $10 a share, and the mutual fund decided to pay a $2 capital gain distribution. On the day that $2 capital gain distribution gets paid out, your share price drops to $8. Now, you might say, well, I reinvest my dividends. Well, that's fine. You'll reinvest your dividends at $8 a share. So you'll essentially be whole, but you will have had to have paid tax on that dividend. $2 on $10 is a 20% capital gain that you have to pay tax on. There was a lot of funds out there last year that were paying capital gain distributions in the 20 and 30% range. People wondered, why do I owe so much taxes? I thought I was having the right amount withheld from my paycheck. You were, perhaps. But you want to be sure that the mutual funds that you own, if they're going to pay a capital gain distribution, that you're planning appropriately for it. At my office, we spend the entire months of December and November doing just that, preparing our clients so that they know what kind of tax impact they're in for. We see if there's any losses that they can take to offset the gains. We look to see if there's any charitable opportunities that they might be able to make to offset the gains. Folks, you got to be tax smart when it comes to investing. This is one area that oftentimes gets overlooked. And this year, where the market's been volatile again, and even positive, we could see capital gain distributions come around again. I'm going to give you a website, if you got a pen handy. It's called Cap Gains Valet, CapGainsValet, CapGainsValet.com. There's a gentleman out in California that coordinates and collects all of the expected capital gain distributions for every single mutual fund in America. It's a free website. He starts to open it up around November or so. If it's something that you're interested in, take a look at it for yourself. If you work with us, we already do it for you. And we would love to talk with you. If what I've been talking about today is something that's of interest to you, if it's time for you to get serious about your financial plan, we would love to meet with you. You can schedule a free initial consultation in my office. Your phone number at my office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Here's my email address, mark@friedmanfinancial.com, mark@friedmanfinancial.com, Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. That's going to do it for me. I've got to make room for Aurelia Nelson so she can tell you about some of the great stuff that's going on all around the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley. Aurelia Nelson coming up with Curtain Up, and I'm out of here. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore. 4.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.